All right. Well, Lemmy, let's just get started. How was your week?
It was good. It was good, man. It was busy. It was a busy week. But how was yours?
Yeah, it was interesting, to say the least. Kind of prepping for the pre-Thanksgiving sort of stuff, but additionally, just trying to get ahead with additional things. Like, you have job stuff, where leading projects and stuff, but then Coder Journey stuff, trying to have a bit of a backlog so I don't have to, like, crunch time on Tuesdays, always write and record a video and be like, okay, now I can, you know, spend time with Kendra at night.
So speaking of Coder Journey, why don't we tell everybody what we're trying to do here? And then, since this is the first episode.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. So I guess I am a full-time developer by day, and then a programming educator by night. So yeah, problem is I'm doing this as a solo gig, and I have nobody to talk to about this stuff. So I thought it would be cool to talk to you, Jamie, about the stuff that you're doing, and yeah, get a little bit of feedback from you, give you feedback on the things you're doing. So what are you doing as part of this?
Yeah, so we're both in similar situations where we kind of have, I guess, side projects, right? So we're not making money off of these projects. Maybe eventually we'd want to. I don't know what your situation is, but we all kind of all have jobby jobs during the day. And my jobby job is I own a consulting company as well that I consider kind of my job. It's not something I want to continue, you know, building and going in that direction. I want to work on my side project. And you have a side project, and so we just want to kind of talk about how our week was and see what we have planned on the next week so we can kind of push each other to finish that stuff. But I am working on a project called Tatsu, which is about a year and a half old now, and it's a Slack bot that allows you to do stand-up meetings in Slack with your team. And so it's kind of a mature product, but there's still a lot to be done. So that is what I work on the side.
I think it's going to be pretty easy for me to go through my stuff right now, just because I'm in the early stages of things, and it's not super interesting to talk about until we get to kind of the nitty-gritty, like, oh, these are the things I'm contemplating. But I haven't talked to you about Tatsu in a long time, so I actually want to kick it off by asking you how things have been going and what you're currently working on.
Yeah, so Tatsu has been going, I would say, the same, meaning there's no, like, hockey stick growth, but it does provide a steady stream of new users and paid users. But it's a cheap, it's an inexpensive product.
Cheap's not exactly the most endearing term.
You're right, you don't use that word, I forgot. But it costs $1 per user per month. So if you have a team of three, it's $3 a month. So it's going to take a lot of users and teams right now to make it more sustainable. And so that's what my main focus is right now. And what my kind of longer term plan is to add features to make it more valuable to the people that use it, and then also more valuable for people that aren't using it yet, and then play around with the pricing model a bit so that it is more sustainable in the long run.
Gotcha. So are you in the process now of, like, working on your sales funnel, essentially? Is that what you're trying to do?
Acquire
new people?
Oh. I'm really bad at that because I want to release a few features before I do that. So messing with your sales funnel, like, is a lot of work. And in my head, anyway, maybe it's not. But I know that there's a certain number of features that are missing because Tatsu does have some competitors, and some of them have gotten ahead of Tatsu in a bit. So the feature I'm working on now is the ability to... tell Tetsu what your stand-up is in a direct message. And what a lot of people have asked for that because right now Tetsu starts at a certain time and inside of a given room, and it kind of does a round robin where it asks people questions for their stand-up. And a lot of people will want to tell them to stand up later or before the stand-up actually happens. And so this way, people can do that with a direct message with Tetsu. And this has kind of been like a long process, and I had to get certain things set up for it. And so the thing I'm working on right now specifically is conversations. So the ability to say, to ask the user one thing, and then they can respond to that, and it continues on to that conversation to get to like an end goal. And right now, Tetsu's been pretty transactional, where you ask it one thing, it knows exactly what the response should be and goes on from there. So right now I'm kind of building out a conversational piece to Tetsu.
Okay, so are those, that almost sounds like two different things. So you have the sort of asynchronous part of you want it to happen in direct messages, mm-hmm. and then you have you're also trying to change basically the interface to be more of like I'm talking in natural language instead of passing it commands. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. So the reason that the conversation piece needs to happen is because of the way that somebody will get to being able to tell Tetsu in a direct message how they'll get to that point in code. So they'll say, hey, I want to start my stand-up. Tetsu's got to ask him, you know, depending on certain situations, if it's for today or the next day, or if it was for yesterday. And then they have to be able to, then it needs to be able to go on from, the bot needs to go on from there. So there needs to be some sort of conversational framework involved.
Oh, okay, got it. So, yeah, so in the original interface, it was kind of, it runs in a room, and it's like, hey, person A, what did you do yesterday? Whatever your next message was becomes, like, the answer for that, and then it asks you a new question. So instead, now you want it to, like, you trigger the second question by saying something specific to it.
Yes.
Like, okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah, and how I'm going to implement it is just basically, I mean, we can get nerdy if you want to get nerdy.
I mean, I think getting nerdy is totally fine.
So basically what it's going to do is run through a series of creating a conversation object that can then run through a series of things that it says. And then when an answer comes along, it fires off the block for that for that step in the conversation and continues on. So it's kind of a challenging problem. I've been working on it for like a week already. So I plan on open sourcing it as well. There's nothing in the Ruby world that handles conversations in bot interfaces yet. So
are you doing your own natural language processing stuff on this, or are you using a service? I know you talked about Wit before, Wit.ai.
Yeah, I'm not. The natural language processing is already in there, and I'm using API.ai.
Okay, nice name.
It's very similar. Yeah, it's... I forgot. Somebody bought it. I think Amazon, maybe. But I didn't use Wit AI because Facebook bought it, and I didn't, you know, what they did with Parse. So I kind of steered away from Wit AI. But they're very similar services. So it doesn't really matter. It's actually a pluggable thing in Tetsu, so I can switch out the natural language processing engine.
Nice. Cool. Have any estimate on like how long it's going to actually take you to do this? You've been working on it for a week, so like when's your projected like I want to have this feature done? I'm asking the
question. It was
question
like last week.
All engineers hate this question.
It was like last week. No, it's close. So my sticking point right now is, you know, the web is stateless, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how do you get them? I have the structure and the framework of what the conversation does, and it can actually ask the first question. But the problem is now is how does it get to the third block to fire off? Do I serialize those procs somehow and store them somehow so that when I know that I'm in the third step for that user in that room, it knows to fire that step off Do you know what I mean? It's kind of it's an interesting problem in the fact that I need to like serialize these blocks and somehow get to the point where I was before.
I'm trying to think of how I would do this in Ruby. Like, I've been messing around with Elixir a lot, so I'm like, oh, you just return the PID back to your thing, and then it, it will know. You can just talk to this process for it. But, yeah, that doesn't quite work in Ruby. So, yeah, it's almost like you want a linked list of things, right?
Yeah.
So you want, like, this question is linked to this next one, but how you're going to store that is going to be a little weird. I mean, you might just have to be, when somebody's like, oh, I would like to do my stand-up, or whatever that first question is, unless they say, hey, Tatsu, yesterday I did this. And you might be able to work off of both those things. But in that situation, they hit you with their first question. You serialize all the objects in said linked list. And then you could clean these up later, right? So it would give you the first one. And so you know, okay, this is my currently active one. And you mark it in some sort of way once they've answered it. Like you jot the answer on that thing and then mark that as not current. And then you would have to trigger the second one to be current and then talk back that way. That's about the only way I could think to do it. And
Ruby. That's a good idea with the linked list. That's a good idea, serializing that at basically every time and then just knowing what place in the linked list to go off of, which is an easy problem to solve. The biggest problem is finding those. So that's an interesting question. But once I solve that specific question, it's not going to take long at all. I'm going to say that I'll have this done, but I'm not going to be, because there's the other thing that I'm working on is there's now all of a sudden a bug that's kind of affecting a lot of users. And not a lot, but, you know, I've seen this bug over the last few days pop up. All of a sudden, it's happening to multiple users. And there's really been no code changes in this area, so I don't know what the issue is. But the issue is Tetsu will just suddenly stop. It'll stop asking people questions. And really, all Tetsu is right now is a state machine, so it knows exactly in the stand-up where you left off, and it has this current state. And somehow the state is getting changed to a previous state, and that's why nothing. That's why it stops, because it either thinks that the stand-up is completed or not, or it hasn't started yet. So there's another weird bug that I have to take some time to kind of dig through and figure out. And that's kind of my number one priority right now.
Yeah, that's kind of a deal breaker on your stand-ups if they just stop in the middle of
them. Right. Yeah.
Makes sense.
So those are the two things I'm planning on working on this week, the little bug and the conversations. So what about you, man? So what have you been working on?
Like I said, kind of in the beginning, is I'm trying to get ahead on my... Currently, I release one tutorial a week that has a blog post and whatnot associated with it, and... that's on YouTube and on the coderjourney.com. And it takes me about 4 hours-ish to do all the prep work and the production and the post-production work for that.
Did you say 4 hours?
Yeah, 4 hours. And all these videos, the longest one's like a half hour long.
That seems low.
Yeah, it might not be bad, like... in terms of that, but it's a matter of actually carving out this time, because it's like, okay,
sure.
I have this thing, my commute is 45 minutes each way, and then obviously in the evenings I have obligations and stuff that I have at the house and whatnot, so it's like carving out this time and figuring out the best way to do it. But the big thing is that's not the main focus I want to do. These are kind of my thing, right? Tutorials, teaching people stuff, sort of my thing. But as you kind of talked about earlier, it's like, this is a side business. Coder Journey has made me $0. It's made me maybe 85 cents on YouTube ads, 'cause I turned them on for a month and it was pretty funny. But beyond that, $0, I've never gotten any income from this, and that's something I want to change. Being altruistic and teaching people stuff is great. And honestly, a lot of the content, I'm always going to be putting out free content, but I want to be able to make some money off of it. So the transition point for me right now is to get into building out courses and making some paid ones. I had a trial course that I made a couple weeks ago, I got an Airbnb over the weekend and ended up making a Docker course that was like an intro course. And it's actually a lot of the same information that I put in some of my tutorials. It's just more contextual and like it's packaged in a nice way. And you can see the code and the text there if you want that. And you can leave comments and stuff, and it's a lot more organized. So my process now is I want to get ahead on tutorials. That way I can free up some more time to actually work on the course stuff. And that's kind of where I'm at right now.
So, yeah. So you said a whole bunch of things there that I want to dig into. So you got an Airbnb last week, right? So you did a little codication type of deal.
Yep. Yeah.
So was it just you?
It was not just me. So it was me and a buddy of mine he's in like early stages of, he wants to start an online business and stuff. And I guess we can go back there. I have done a lot to like learn what it even takes to like run a business as a thing. So I've thought about Coder Journey as a business ever since its like inception. So I've never had I took a chunk of money. I'm like, okay, this is business fund. Like create a new bank account for it and stuff and put this over. And I'm like, I can burn through this. This is like my roadway before I have to like make money. Otherwise this thing is, you know, not going to go very far.
And this is for costs for hosting?
Yeah, hosting, yeah. And software stuff, like mm-hmm. updated ScreenFlow, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So there's a lot of research that went into in this. And then I also, I look at a lot of different, software educators, so like Code School and stuff like that. And, you know, blog posts are great for these sort of things. And then just, like, internet business as a thing. Like, how does it work? And mm-hmm. one of the things I found from that is like, as a programmer, the thought is normally, I will build it and they will come, sort of as a thing. But who's the guy from Code School? The guy who originally started it? He was from MD Labs.
Pollock.
Yeah, Pollock. Is it Greg Pollock?
Greg Pollock. Yeah.
Yeah. So he had a blog post or something that was basically like, you know, when we first started out, it was like all dev all the time, and then later we added some like marketing. And he's like, once it really like balanced out to like where it should have been, it was basically like 50-50. So a lot of marketing and then dev too. So I took that like just from the beginning to be like, okay, keep in mind that it doesn't do you any good to build something if nobody knows it exists. So I've done a lot with that. And that's why I brought my buddy to this Airbnb, is because he wanted to kind of siphon off some of that knowledge. Or it was less than he wanted to siphon it, more like I was like, dude, I think I can help you with some of this like structuring your... figuring out what your like mission is for what you're working on and going and doing something with that.
Now, is he a dev or
he is not actually. This is like totally he used to program, but he's not building a software business at all. He's sort of in that spot where he knows he wants to do his own thing, and he's trying to figure out what it is that he should be building. And so I took him through some basically just like exercises more or less to sort of be like, okay, maybe we can find something that totally makes sense for you to like start in a business. And I think it was really informative for him, and he like learned a bunch of stuff.
But, so where would you guys stay at for this Airbnb? Was it in town?
It was in Fort Wayne. So yeah, nice. it was pretty close. It was far enough away that it was like, you know, we weren't at home, didn't have like home responsibilities. He has a wife and a kid. I have a wife and a college kid. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we were off and just like, we could be focused. So like I put in, you know, I think I put in 9 or 10 hours of like straight, just working on, my course stuff on Saturday. I think I wrote like 4,000 words and like recorded like 7 or 8 videos. So yeah, that was pretty beneficial.
What was your end goal for your own stuff?
For me, I just wanted to, from start to finish, make a course and release it. And so I did. That was my free course. The entire course is probably like, if you sat down and go through it, it's probably like an hour's worth of content. I try to keep it in really small chunks. That way you can actually get where you need to go.
And this is for Docker? This is your Docker course?
Yes. This is my like beginner to Docker course. So when my first tutorial is about Docker, and I don't know what I called it. It was like up and running with Docker in 15 minutes or something. And I take you from like zero to like publishing an image on Docker Hub. But the problem is I didn't explain what the heck Docker was in that video. So you have these problems where there's like some context missing. And one of the things that I've been kind of learning as I've been studying other online educators and this and that is that you can get almost any piece of content on the internet for free. It's just a matter of like, if you want all of the pieces of content, then you're going to have to go to a lot of different sources. So making something that is contextual and the content that you want is the valuable part, not necessarily the information that's inside of it by itself.
Yeah, I think there's also, it depends on what you want to see. So if you want, like, if you are completely unfamiliar with Docker, right, you may watch this tutorial, right, or this course.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to find a specific thing on how to do in Docker, that's kind of where you go somewhere else. So that's why I like the fact that you're releasing both kind of a blog post as well as a video, because people that are trying to do either of those things may land up in the same area.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and the funny thing, that like the blog post is literally just the script that I write before I record my video. And
right.
I don't read from a script, but it's like it's an outline that just has a ton of text on it in case I do like kind of forget what I'm supposed to be talking about at a certain point.
Yeah, it's kind of like writing a talk. You know, it's like you kind of outline it, create your slides. Some of those slides have scripts, but you don't read from them. You just kind of, they're just there to kind of guide you to the next thing.
Yeah. Except for I'm seriously a little weird about talks. Well, anytime I give a conference talk, it's always one of the... Yeah, well, to each his own, right? Everybody does it a little bit differently. I have this thing where I'm like, man, I'm going to have as little words on the screen as possible. I'm going to explain this stuff. And what do? I always go over by like 25 minutes. That's why I haven't spoken to a user group in a long time, is because I take too long.
So so you got your course up. This is different from the Docker stuff that you had out. This is kind of like rewrote. Written with more context, with more content.
Yeah, so it's the bad part about having a video, right? So like most people come to that content through YouTube, and YouTube only gives you so much, and people don't actually read stuff in the description too often. So like even though they could go to my website and get more of the context, like you can actually see the code samples and this and that, not as many people do that as you would think. Like, yeah, it's pretty small. And the first couple videos, I didn't actually, the blog post associated with it is like basically like, hey, I did this thing, and then it's like an embedded video. So the first couple really are not good, but I'm probably not going to even bother going back and like updating those.
Mm-hmm.
But my workflow has vastly improved since then. So these are, and actually I reused some of the video from one of my early tutorials because I had like a good like slideshow kind of thing going on. So I reused that, did some more editing on it, and broke it into more succinct chunks as one module inside of this course.
So, and then what are you using for your courses? So course is just basically a series of videos, is that right?
Yeah, I use this thing called Teachable. So if you go to teachable.com, you can start a school, and you can build out your courses from there. And it's kind of neat because you can, your entire course, you can break it into modules, which are like just sections that have a succinct grouping to them. And then inside there, you have lectures. And your lectures can be composed of files, quizzes, text. And your files can be like PDFs or audio files or videos. So you can build these as like a combination. It's like Legos, right? So you're like, oh, I'm going to have a video. It's going to be my top piece. And then I'm going to have text underneath it. And then I'm going to enable... comments on this particular lecture, and people can talk on there. So that's the approach I took for this one. And
how is that working out, Teachable?
So I haven't actually done any like marketing-esque work on this yet.
Well, I mean, how is the Teachable platform working out for you? Were you able to integrate it with your own? Is this like a separate URL?
Oh, it's just okay. So Coder Journey is a WordPress site because I wanted to have as little to finagle with as possible.
Okay, we're done. We're done.
We're done.
We're done talking.
So, yeah, I made a wise business move and picked WordPress because don't actually know how to do anything with it. And so this is on a different URL. So I have a subdomain for it. So if you go to courses.coderjourney.com, then you can go to my school, and all the courses will kind of be here. So somebody can like enroll in the school before they ever like purchase a... one of my courses. But then if they purchase one, then they get to see that as like, oh, these are my courses. But then they can purchase all of them and kind of share the same sign in information and whatnot.
Cool.
It is a little annoying. Like a couple things bother me. Like I can't get SSL on it Like, I can't give them, like, a SSL cert and have HTTPS, and that makes me mad. So I'm currently resisting the urge to just build my own course platform.
I'm not. Well, why would you need SSL to start charging for these courses?
Well, no. Yeah, you can charge through them. So the payment processing stuff's, like, actually built into it. You select however, and you can even do, like, subscription stuff, too. But it just bothers me as a thing, right? Like, I want people to come to this thing and feel like, oh, I'm secure as a thing.
And the whole web should be SSL.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Let's Encrypt exists so that you can get free SSL certs and, you know, actually encrypt things. And it just bothers me. Like, I think you can actually have SSL on a Teachable subdomain, but you have to, like, be on their, like, $300 a month plan, and you have to, like, send them an email to their technical support or something like that. So that irritates me. But that's not a big enough reason for me to build my own platform.
So what's your longer-term goal as terms of, like, charging for courses? So, this Docker course is free, right?
Yeah, this first one is, like, very, like, introductory. I'm going to teach you a little bit about the Docker command. I'm going to teach you exactly, like, actually what Docker is, so you can kind of conceptualize it in your mind. And we'll go through and we'll build some containers, we'll build some images. You'll get a grasp on, like, how you can interact with these things. And then from there, I want to have, that's my, like, just getting started with Docker. But my next one is actually going to be very focused on Docker as, like, a development tool. So I use Docker every single day for application development, and, like, the sense that I, you know, I'm working on a web app that needs to talk to a database server, and needs to talk to a Redis server, needs to talk to, like, Memcached or whatever. And using it in that development setting is really nice because you get to simulate kind of that real world. It's sort of like 12-factor, except for better, because you can literally be like, my image is exactly the same. I'm just going to run it in a slightly different environment. But then additionally, it also allows us to have the same, like, testing benefits. So I want to talk about using Docker for, like, continuous integration, continuous deployment, and then talk about orchestration stuff too. So get into a little bit more of the OPSI side that a lot of devs don't necessarily know a lot about, but I actually think Docker makes it really easy to deploy things. So,
and then you're going to charge for the more advanced course?
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Nice. I like that. Idea. So what is your plan for the coming week?
The plan for the coming week is, so I did get a little bit ahead on scripts this last week. So I have, I released one today, and then next week's is already done. So I also want to produce two more videos this week. So I will be effectively 3 weeks ahead. And that will give me a little bit of runway, so I can just create one a week for the next foreseeable future and feel like I still have some breathing room in for, like, when Christmas comes up and stuff like that. So I want to produce two videos between now and next Monday, for instance. And then I also want to have laid out all of the content, not all the, like, actual nitty-gritty content for the course, but I want to have my entire outline done. And I want to have up a landing page for, like, pre-sign up for a paid Docker course. So
nice.
Yeah, that's my goal for the next, I mean, between now and the next time I talk to you in a few weeks.
Cool. All right. Yeah. So we're going to do these podcasts every 2 weeks starting out. We might do maybe once a week as we get better at them. But yeah, so in 2 weeks, I should definitely have my conversation piece done, the bug fixed, and then you will have two more tutorials in your Rails and a landing page for your Docker course.
Yep, sounds good.
Cool, man. Well, I will talk to you in a few weeks.
Talk to you later.